A man is not old until he stops learning. When you stop learning, you start dying. Learning is the key to greatness. Join us every Sunday at Global Impact Church at The Goodland, Ifako Bus Stop, Oworonsoki, Ogbudu Expressway, Lagos, Nigeria. Host, Yemi and Bimbo Davids. For inquiries, visit www.globalimpactng.org. Global Impact Church. Think greatness. Achieve greatness.
Are you grateful this morning? Okay, can we rise up on our feet this morning and give God thanks again? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for April. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, my God. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, my Lord. Oh, Shemuel Bamila. Oh, Shemuel. Oh, Shemuel. Oh, Shemuel. Oh, Shemuel. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, my God. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, our God. Thank you for helping us. Thank you, what the Lord has done for us, we cannot tell. What the Lord has done for us, we cannot tell it all. What the Lord has done for us, we cannot tell. I can praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
So I can shout.
Thank you, Lord, for the month of April. Thank you, Lord, for the month of May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December 2024. Our future is certain. Our future is blessed. We give you the praise for increase in Jesus' mighty name. Please put your hands together for the Almighty God. Hallelujah. You can do it louder than that. You can do it like you have a great month ahead of you. Amen. You can shake the hand of your neighbor again and just greet them as you take your seat. I want to just share the word within the time given me, and then we'll get into some high praises of praising God. Glory to God. God is a covenant-keeping God, and God is a merciful God. Lamentations 3:22. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Verse 23, glory to God. They are what? New every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His mercy is new this morning. And anyone that came in here, regardless of that situation you left Saturday night, or yes, on Friday or last week, God's faithfulness is giving you new beginning today in the name of Jesus Christ. Say louder, amen. Okay, God's mercy is revealed in his covenant with us if you are saved. God's great mercy. And that covenant has many, many dimensions. And I want to share one dimension of it that I've shared before, but it's a great reminder. The oath dimension of God's covenant. God swore an oath to us. When you swear, it's something that binds you to what you are committed to. I used to use examples. I think I need a guy and okay, please come. And I need a lady, a single lady. Are you single? No, you're married now. A single, any single person in protocol? Glory to God. Okay, any single, okay. So, amen. 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 Now, oath. If you watch African Magic, I don't watch it. I used to watch it a lot before. When Chigozie here, my friend, Chigozie wants to travel to Obodo Yimbo, and he's telling Adaku that when I go to Obodo Yimbo, I will come back and marry you. Adaku now says to Chigozie, Chigozie, when you go, will you remember me? Chigozie will say, Adaku, why are you talking like that? I will remember you now. Don't cry. Adaku will not be crying, Chigozie. You are going to forget me. And Chigozie continues to promise Adaku, I will remember you. But Adaku is not convinced. Chigozie will now try to upgrade the promise to something of certainty. That's okay. Let us go and swear. At where? Ogugu. Chigozie will now carry Adaku to Ogugu and swear oath. Now, when you get to that dimension, it changes the entire equation. For what it does is, he's swearing by those gods or those demons that if I don't come back to marry Adaku, he will now proclaim curses on his life. Let my life not work. Let anybody I marry not work. There's a dimension of the proclamations that gives Adaku some satisfaction. That even if he doesn't come back, he's not finished. So whichever way. So that oath settles the argument. And that oath also affects him when he gets to Obodo Yimbo and he sees Maria at work. And he's beginning to like Maria. And he remembers all the curses. He will now call, Maria, I'm sorry, we can't go on. Maria will say, what happened? Chigozie will say, Maria, you cannot understand. Because if he breaks that oath, those demons will come after him. That was what God was trying to do to Abraham. He had promised him in Genesis 12. Now he got to that dimension of oath to settle it in Abraham's heart that your descendants, I am going to bless them. Their case is settled. That your blessing is certain. Your fruitfulness is certain. Your flourishing is certain. But God is the highest. So he couldn't swear by any other God. That's why scripture says he did what? He swore by himself. Chigozie, you can go. Adaku. Please put your hands together for them. Hebrews 6 verse 12. Hebrews 6 12. Quickly. that you do not become sluggish. Are you awake? Please listen. That you not become sluggish, but imitate those who through what? Faith plus what? Faith and patience. God is always working behind the scenes. Many people start with faith, but they don't understand the patience dimension of it, and they lose faith. God is always at work. Those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Verse 13. For when God made a what? Promise. He started with a promise to Abraham. Because he could swear by no one greater. What did he do? He swore by himself. Verse 14. Saying, surely blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. Verse 15. And so after he had patiently endured, he did what? Obtain the promise. Verse 16. Look at what I just described to you now. For men indeed swear by the what? Greater, and an oath. For confirmation is for them an end of all argument. Can we have that verse in Passion Translation or ERV? Just the illustration we just had. That ends the dispute. For Adaku, for instance, if you like, come. But if you don't come, I'm kind of okay, you know, because something is going to hold you down. Look at TPT. It is very common for people to swear an oath by something greater than themselves. For the oath will do what? Confirm their statements and end what? What is what? ERV. If you can get ERV or NIV, you know. So the oath. So God swore by himself. ERV, verse 16 or something, please. People always use. Okay. ERV. People always use the name of someone greater than themselves to make a promise with an oath. The oath proves that what they say is what? Is true. And there is no more arguing about it. Genesis 22 now, verse 15. So God swore to Abraham and his seed, in Christ Jesus, you are the seed of Abraham. So there's an oath on your head. God has no choice than to give you what he has promised. I want that anchor to be in our soul. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. Are you there? Verse 16. And said, by myself I have what? Says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Verse 17. In blessing I will, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars. Say, I'm a star. I mean, God is describing his descendants as stars. You could have used charcoal. You could have used anything. We are stars. We are destined to shine. Jesus said, we are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. He said, as the stars on heaven in terms of quality, and as the sand upon the seashore in terms of increase and multiplication, and your people will possess the gate of their enemies. Now, this verse, he said, in blessing, I will bless you. Now, you know, I read a particular version of this several years ago. He was trying to describe, even God was looking for the right word to use. That's why he said, in blessing, I will bless you. I don't know, when we were growing, when we were younger, as kids, there's a level when your mom, you offend, you do something wrong, and your mom says, I'm going to beat you. You know, that's a normal beating, isn't it? But when something happens and she looks at you, and in a bit to describe what you're going to go through, she says, I will beat you, eh? That is, in beating, I will beat you. You to know that that beating is in another class. That's what God was trying to say. If you check other versions, in blessing, I will bless you. He could have said, I will bless you, Abraham. No, in blessing, I will bless you. It's an uncommon blessing. I will multiply you, and your people will be like stars in heaven, and then multiply upon the seashore. So that's what we have as an oath. as a seed of Abraham from Galatians 3:26 to 29 in Christ Jesus, you are now the seed of Abraham. So whatever proclamations you see in Genesis 22 from that verse 15, it's your destiny. Galatians 3:26 on the screen. Thank you. For you are all sons of God. For you are all sons of God through faith in who? In Christ Jesus. In who? In Christ Jesus. In who? In Christ. It makes all the difference. Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have what? Put on Christ. Glory to God. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's no difference between Esther and you anymore. In fact, you have a better standing than Esther. There's no difference between Nehemiah and me. I have a better standing than Nehemiah. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, the slave or the free. There is even neither male or female. That means in this covenant, the male prospers, the female prospers. The males become great. The female also become great. He said, for you are all one in who? In Christ. Somebody say Christ Jesus. Verse 29, if you are Christ, then you are what? Abraham's seed. Another version says, Abraham's offspring, Abraham's descendants, and heirs according to the promise. So all those promises given to Abraham's seed is now mine, is now yours in Christ Jesus. And it's not just an ordinary promise. God swore by him. So you can take it to God. I say, Lord, you said this on oath. What's happening? God is mandated. He doesn't have to feel like it because he already swore an oath. Now, there's a prophetic example that the Holy Spirit showed me several years ago, and I think I've shared it here, and I want to use that to prophesy and bless us. It's the story of David and Jonathan. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14, 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14. You remember Jonathan? Okay, who is the father of Jonathan? That Jonathan? Okay. Yes. I want to be sure you know the Jonathan. Is his father a king or not? Yeah, okay. For those who didn't know. Okay. So now, Jonathan knew that David would become king. The father also saw it, but was reacting. So Jonathan now saw the future and said, this man will become king. And look, in those days, if you watch some of those epics, the moment the opposition takes the throne, especially when there's a wrestle, a tussle, and the opposition now wins, all the people from the former line, they jackpot, or they run away because out of fear that they can revolt, the new king will slaughter all of them. Do you understand? They would, you know, take them to court, you know, that kind of thing, and say they steal money, you know this kind of thing. They just start to, you know, keep them quiet and all those things. In those days, they just kill them. Why are you looking at me like that? No. Okay, so Jonathan saw the future. So he now was trying to settle his future, his own seed. He now told David, promise me that you will take care of my seed. David now said, I promise. He now says, swear. He understood what he was doing. That on the platform of an oath, David has to take care of anyone that is in line with Jonathan. So, and you shall not only show me what? The kindness of the Lord while I'm still alive, that I may not die. Verse 15. 15, quickly. But you shall not cut off your kindness from what? From my house forever. As long as you're going to be king, my children, grandchildren will not be killed. In fact, you will show them. Another word for kindness is mercy. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. Verse 16, glory to God. So Jonathan, what? Made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require it at the hand of David, David's enemies. Now look at verse next. Now Jonathan, again, if you notice, he had promised, they had in fact made a kind of covenant, but he wanted to seal it. Now, Jonathan again caused David to do what? To vow. Oh, on that frequency, David has to do it. Because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. So on this platform, anyone from the lineage of Jonathan, as we say in our own land here, they have done better. Because if David should break it, it will affect his own seed. It's a vow he had made. So let's run to 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Are you awake? If you are there, say amen. Oh, if you are really, really there, say louder, amen. If you are sleeping, say loud, amen. Yeah. Welcome. So David became king, established as king. The oath began to sound. Oath always cry over people's life. Have you noticed that? If you know about the diabolical system, the thing will cry. It might be 10 years, 15 years. Only a higher law can break it. It will cry. It will sound because it involves spirits. So David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him what? For whose sake? I don't care the name. I don't care educational qualification. I don't care as long as the DNA test, shows that it's Jonathan's seed, he will enjoy kindness. Can you imagine them calling for people? And people say, I'm Jonathan's son too. I look like him now. Then I say, go and do DNA test. And can you imagine doing the DNA test and the nurse comes out and says, Papa. You will do what? Because your own has changed forever. Look at the next verse. Verse 2. And there was a servant. Somebody say servant. Of the house of Saul, whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? He said, at your service. Verse 3. Then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. Oh. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lo Debar. Lo Debar is a place of scarcity and want. That Lo Debar is far from where David was. This guy, when David became king, because he knew that he was of the lineage of the former king, he ran to Lo Debar to hide. Because the assumption is David will kill all of us. And he had a deficiency. In fact, he was crippled on both legs. I don't know who you are today. Because of the Abrahamic blessing that God swore, the mercy of God will find you out today. He was there hiding, thinking of death. Think, what do you do when you are lame in Lo Debar? When you are deficient in Lo Debar, when you don't really qualify to be among them, and you are lame on both feet, that's a cripple. I was trying to describe Lo Debar. This is Lo Debar, so I'm lame in Lo Debar. Lo Debar. Can you see Lo Debar? Lo Debar is a place that is dirty. Dirty place, ugly place, a place of scarcity, a place of lack, a place where you don't really think you have a future. But God is saying, you won't be there for long. I'm getting you out today. Lame in Lo Debar. And then look at the next verse, verse 5. If you can hear me, say praise, say hallelujah. Then King David sent and what? Brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lo Debar. I prophesy that this grace is fetching you out today. The Lo Debar of barrenness, the Lo Debar of depression,
They lowered the bar of job losses, financial losses. This kindness, this mercy of God is fetching you out in the name of Jesus Christ. You are not going to remain in Lodibar because of the blessings of Abraham. Verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, somebody said Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, here is your servant. Verse 7. So David said to him, do not fear. I'd like you to whisper to your neighbor, don't be afraid of 2024. Don't be afraid of the future. You are a covenant child. Because he lives, your future is blessed. He said, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness. For whose sake? Jonathan. It's not about you. It's not about your height or your ethnic coloration or your height or your gender. It's because of what Jesus did. Connecting you to the blessing of Abraham. For Jonathan's sake, I will restore. Father, I prophesy restoration over this assembly. Anything that anyone had lost, properties, finances, I prophesy restoration in the name of Jesus Christ. Lame in Lodibar. And said, I will restore to you all the lands of Saul, your grandfather. Oh, and you shall eat bread at my table. I tried to look like Mephibosheth. I'm sure it was worse than this. Chris, what have you done to me? It was lame on the two legs in Lodibar. But he said, you are living Lodibar. You are now kings and priests unto me. You are living Lodibar. To my table, my royal table, that changes everything. Stop thinking of Lodibar, thinking of being a king and a priest. He said, you will eat bread at my table continually. Verse 8. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog? Yes, we were dead before we were saved. We're under the torments of Satan. We are nothing. But now in this covenant, we are royalty. Verse 9. And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. Wow. Verse 10. Look at this verse 10. Remember, I was lame in Lodibar. Now he said, you Ziba, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall walk the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest, that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. From that verse 10, stay on verse 10, please. From that verse 10, how many staff does he have now? Glory to God. He said, you, Ziba, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall walk the land for him. Remember, they had restored land to him already. Now, the man that had no property is now a property magnate. The man that could not eat well in Lodibar is now eating on the table of precious royalty. The man that had no business is now having business with plenty of staff. How many staff now? 36 staff. This year, your business will see expansions. Is that an expansion? Amen. Your career will experience acceleration. What a dramatic change. And that's what God's covenant does. You don't remain in Lodibar. And in case you are in this service, you are not born again. You are not saved. I appeal to you. I appeal to your conscience. You need to get into Christ so that the blessings of Abraham can begin to not upgrade you, transform you completely. Change your story completely. Look at the next verse, verse 11. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so shall your servant do. But as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. We are not like one of the king's sons in the New Testament. We are the king's sons and daughter. Wow. So Mephibosheth now gets to the table. Glory to God. And now I prophesy, your diet will change. He satisfied my mouth with good things so that my youth is what? Renewed, renewed, renewed. What you eat affects your health, your accommodation. I think where he lives also changes, isn't it? So if you are looking for accommodation here, and God will supply your needs. God will change your story. I don't know how many mosquitoes, how many bed bugs, how many orishi-rishis in Lodiba, Lodiba. Here, air condition. Attending, people attending to you. I hope your mind is changing. Because you that started this year is not the same you that will end this year. Wow. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I might not be smiling in Lodiba, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm eating Kentucky Fried Chicken now. Amen. My garments changes. A new garment. My coat of many colors. Glory to God. Woo. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Royalty. I know the Lodiba again. I have a dressing allowance. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ah, da, ba, da, da, da. My life has changed because my father, Jonathan, collected it on my behalf before he died. And Jonathan will look from heaven at David and smile. Now, Abraham collected it for his descendants. And then Jesus connected me to it. And Abraham and Jesus, our Lord and Savior, will look down from heaven and say, wow, God is fulfilling the covenant. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There are some jobs that will come your way. It will change your status. Some business opportunities are coming your way. It will change your story. Some kind of blessings are coming your way. It will bring tears of joy. I see families celebrating. I see families jubilating. Some of us are families have not bought property before, but you'll be the first. You will build houses. And you will dwell in them. Maybe there's someone hearing me this morning or afternoon, whatever your time zone is. Even to feed is hard. By the reality of this covenant, you will not just feed, you will feed many people. God's covenant does not leave you the same. That covenant met Abraham as barren. He made him fruitful. He made Abraham as Lord. Abraham was in Lord by himself. He made him great. If you're in this ministry, this is a place of greatness. We are sent to raise great people after the order of this covenant. Esthers, new generation Esthers, new generation Daniels and Josephs. If you are here, think greatness and achieve greatness. No matter how your level, where you join the church, as you take the communion, we hear the word, you keep scaling heights. Some of you are hearing my voice. Your own is not Lodiba. You left Lodiba since. And then you're already here. You have been in church for a while. You're already here. One way or the other, God is saying, you are not just royalty. I will use you to raise other kings. I will use you to employ other people. Today, we're going to praise him for this. I can imagine Mephibosheth getting into the room for the first time in the night and say, Daddy, Jonathan, thank you. Ah, I didn't even know you did this on my behalf. I thought I was going to perish in Lodiba. I was even lame. But what you did on my behalf, thank you, Daddy. You'll be crying. And I said to God, if David can be so committed to an oath, how much more the covenant-keeping God, the great I am, then is worthy of my praise. Your past must have been perhaps bad and dark, but me, I'm certain that your future is far better. I saw something in verse 12. I mean, it looks might not look much to you, but I believe in families. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micha. And God said, will his school change? Of course. I'm not even sure he was going to school in Lodibar. How would the man that is lame pay school fees? But I think the kind of school he goes will change. His friends will change. His clothing will change. His destiny has changed. Your children are destined for greatness. Because of what Jonathan did, this grandchild, Micha, everything changes about him. Think, God swore by himself, Abraham, in blessing I will bless you. Say, I'm blessed. My future is great. I will not be barren. I am a blessing. I want your faith to be concretized because God swore. God swore. God swore. In 2 Samuel 21, you can sit down just for a moment. I'm concluding now. We're going to get into some high praises. This dimension is so powerful. 2 Samuel 21. Can I have my royal handkerchief, please? Now there was a famine in the days of David. Are you here? How many years famine? Thank you, sir. 3 years. Year after year. And David inquired of the Lord. The Lord answered, it is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house. Because he killed this thing. It was a vow that caused it. The Israelites had vowed to the Gibeonites. They vow an oath. During the time of Joshua, that we will never kill you or touch you. But Saul, look at verse 2. So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not a children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. The children of Israel had what? Sworn protection to them. But Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the children of Israel. So he killed them. Now the harvest, the reaction of the oath, was what brought that 3-year problem. Therefore, David said to the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And with what shall I make atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? Verse 4. And the Gibeonites said to him, We have no silver or gold from Saul or from his house, nor shall you kill any man in Israel for us. So he said, Whatever you say, I will do. We are tired of these economic problems. Then they answered the king, as for the man who consumed us and plotted against us, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the territories of Israel. Verse 6, let 7 men of his what? Descendants be delivered to us. And we will hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord chose. And the king said, I will give them. So on this platform, every son, 7 will be picked. 7 to die. But look at what happened to this Mephibosheth. It's on that line. He should have been killed. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. Oath is powerful. The son of Saul. Because of the Lord's oath that was between them. Between David and who? And Jonathan. Verse 8. Now, the vow, was it between David and Jonathan or David and Saul? It was between David and Jonathan and Jonathan's children, not Saul. So when he spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. There is another Mephibosheth in the family, but it's not Jonathan's son. We might carry the same name, but my case is different. You might be calling, they might call you Yemi, but if you are not saved, you are not saved. Look at it now. So the king took Amun. And what? Mephibosheth. But this is not the other Mephibosheth. They are the same family, the same name, but something was crying over one's head. So yeah, shall I lose on you? Do you understand what I'm saying? You will be spared this year. Whatever evil ravages the land, the blood of Jesus will exempt you. David spared Mephibosheth. But this guy could not be spared, though he's a son of Saul, but not the son of Jonathan. So the king took Ammoni and Mephibosheth, the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Allah, whom she bore to who? Not to Jonathan. And then the five sons of Mihar, the daughter of whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of, you know, all the Saul's people enter trouble, but Jonathan's own. Jesus has separated you. Though we live in the world, we're not of the world. 1,000 may fall on your right, 10,000 on your left. It will not come. That thing did not come near Mephibosheth because there was an oath on his life. I think we should be grateful for that. So this morning, we are doing advanced praise to celebrate the manifestation of this oath. Everyone trusting God for the fruit of the womb in this service, your fruitfulness is guaranteed by this oath. Anyone trusting God for restoration or turnaround, look at what David did to Mephibosheth. Your God is greater than David. He will perform. Only that you need faith plus patience. In his time, he makes all things beautiful, but he's going to do it. Are you ready to praise him? Rise up on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As we praise him, there will be increase. As we praise him, there will be power release. Chains will be broken. I said, chains will be broken. People are moving to another level, a higher level. In the name of Jesus.
A man is not old until he stops learning. When you stop learning, you start dying. Learning is the key to greatness. Join us every Sunday at Global Impact Church at The Goodland, Ifako Bus Stop, Oworonsoki, Ogbudu Expressway, Lagos, Nigeria. Host, Yemi and Bimbo Davids. For inquiries, visit www.globalimpactng.org. Global Impact Church. Think greatness. Achieve greatness.